Hey, welcome back to Real Talk with Caleb. Y'all know the deal. We keep it real. Today, I've got my brother, my friend on again, Joe Bogdan, Chief Mass Sergeant Joe Bogdan. Y'all have heard him on here before. Just an amazing individual, an amazing airman. But you've also, he's got his own podcast. We'll get to that in a little while. Make sure I get in the show notes and things. But a lot of people know you, Joe. Me and you were talking on here earlier about what we want to discuss tonight. Well, tonight for us, it might not be tonight where you're listening in from, but about outside the stripes as it pertains to physical and psychological readiness and health and that type of thing. So, Joe, bro, welcome back to the show, man. How you doing?
I'm doing awesome, man. I get to share some space with you. Getting used to the new job a little bit. I finally feel settled out here in the Alexandria, Virginia area. The only thing that's missing is my wife. She's still not out here. She hasn't joined me yet, but she will be soon. And I'll be able to see her in about a week at AFA. So I'm excited, man.
That's awesome. Hey, so there is a move. You mentioned that. I think a lot of people on social media that follow you and stuff, man, I think you got like 226 million people following you. But a lot of people probably already know. But for the sake of entertaining those that might not know, what's the new gig, man? What's Chief Bogdan up to in the D.C. area, in the Pentagon?
Yeah. So just for our listeners, I moved out here about a month ago, just finally getting settled. I went from being the senior enlisted leader at OSON at the CE squadron out there as a Hayte chief. And I got the blessed opportunity to come to the Pentagon to work for A1DI, which is, I'm the Chief of Enlisted Force Development for Headquarters Air Force. So really awesome. Have an opportunity to influence policy and strategic direction of the development of our enlisted force. And I get to work with amazing chiefs out here that are just doing great things, just great senior enlisted leaders that are working together, whether that's over in the PME world, whether that's development of the gaps to talent management. And I mean, it's just got my head spinning, just the opportunities that we have. And just right now I'm getting used to everything, getting used to the building. I don't know if people who have never been in the Pentagon, it is a beast. I'm finally feeling comfortable getting to my office.
Finding it. Do you have a guy that like takes you around? Like in the subway, you got to follow this color to your corridor?
It's funny that you say that. There's like four letter codes that you have to know in corridors and all that stuff. And you come from, I actually get on the metro from the subway, get off, go up into the Pentagon, swipe in. And then luckily, Sam, you know, Chief Sam Avarchian, he's really good at showing you how to get places with landmarks. And the way that I understand it, like, hey, when you see this sign, take a right. When you go up these escalators, go like this. So I discovered exactly how to get from the subway to my office, which is great. And now I'm trying to branch off a little bit from there.
It's like a little bit at a time. You know, when you move to a new city, you're like, I'm not going to go too far away from the hotel or the house or the apartment, whatever you're living in. But man, they picked the perfect person in you to get after those types of things, man. I know me and you go way back, but man, you're awesome for that gig, man. That's just continuing on the work that's already been started there and the foundation has been laid. I know you and Sam are going to do some great things, but, and also to the audience, I'm not sure. It sounds like somebody, I'm in my house here in my studio, but it sounds like somebody's working on their trumpet skills or something. I don't know. So if you hear that, that's what it is. You know, hats off to the youngins out there working on their skills. So anyway, Joe, as we move forward, hey, we're keeping it real. You know what I mean? So as we move forward, I wanted to talk to you about, you know, a lot of people see us, me and you, but this is about you and wearing our chief stripes, right? And 100%, I know you're proud of that. You're a great chief. You're a great airman. And there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that not everybody doesn't get to see, right? And for good reason, some people just, you know, that's not what we're about, is showing every little detail of our lives. However, I think sometimes airmen at large, but chiefs, maybe we make it seem easier than what it is. And not on purpose necessarily, right? But we only, you know, share certain things on social media. And I think you've got a great balance of showing life, real life stuff and the real Air Force stuff, if you will. But talk to us, man, some of the main topics, two main topics I wanted to chat with you tonight about is physical readiness and your psychological or emotional readiness. And so I think we'll just start at the top with physical, if you're all right with that. And that might tie together. I'm not sure, but for you. But man, what does that look like for Joe Bogdan, right? So Set and Chief Bogdan, I know it's hard to separate them because you're really the same person, right? But setting that aside and just talking to us about what Joe does from a physical aspect, man.
Man, so I'll tell you, when I was young, I never was the most athletic, but I was always, you know, in pretty good shape. It was easy. You know, you get up out of bed and you're already in pretty good shape. My genetics, I think, allows me to keep the weight off for the most part. So I think I took it for granted for a long time, right? And now at the ripe age of 40, I've noticed a little bit ago that I needed to put a little bit more effort into it, right? And I think I went from the taking it for granted and just eating whatever I want and all that to really thinking longevity, right? So over the last 3 or 4 years, I've really thought about, I don't want to, I look at guys, you know, and I'm a Seahawks fan. So I like guys like Pete Carroll, and yeah, that dude is, he's upwards of like 70 years old, but he's running up and down the field. He's like the second oldest coach, or maybe the oldest coach now in the NFL. Might be, yeah. But he looks, he is looking lively, right? And to me, I want that, right? So how do I get after that? When I was young, I was trying to bench as much as I could and do all these things, but now I'm looking more at a holistic health perspective. And you know, the first thing I think of is nutrition.
Yeah,
that's the most important thing, that and the gut biome, just keeping your stomach healthy. So I've noticed that at one point in my career, I was overworking. I was having too many alcoholic beverages and I was not watching what I was eating, and that overworking left less time to be able to go exercise. So all of that started spiraling down, probably about 2016, 17. Mm-hmm. And I remember in 2018, I looked in the mirror and I was not happy with myself. And, I was like, no, I got to get back after this. Right. So, I really started doing a lot of research and work, and I discovered amazing podcasts like the Huberman Lab and Dr. Peter Attia, and they talk about a lot of the science behind it. And I figured I got to do something. I found myself running. I used to be able to at least run 2 miles to 5K, not having any issues. I got to the point, Caleb, where I was running maybe a lap and I was hurting and I didn't know what was going on, you know? And I felt so, and it actually kind of spiraled me down even more because I'm like, this is like demotivating, right? It's demoralizing. I'm like, what's going on here? So I started just putting it into time. Okay. Let me run for 10 minutes straight. I don't care how fast, let's just run for 10 minutes straight. And I started getting better and better and amping that up. But at the same time, I was looking at my nutrition and I discovered this thing called time restricted eating. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people call it intermittent fasting. Depending on who you talk to and what experts, they'll consider time restricted eating, which is putting yourself on a schedule of I only eat between these hours, to intermittent fasting. Some people the experts will sometimes argue about which one's which, right? And some people will say they're interchangeable. Other doctors that were real hardcore will say intermittent fasting is not that. That's more like a day, 2 days, and going back into eating normal again. So before we even go too far, I just want to put the audience, I am not an expert at this. I will say that I'm a brilliant idiot. I'm just going to tell you what I know about what's worked for me, right? Yeah. So go talk to your doctor if you need, if you're really looking
at trying to get better, go right? See your doctor.
Yeah.
Under the advice of your healthcare provider.
Yeah. Right. But I started looking at that, you know, started really studying it, try to become a student of nutrition and health. And I got onto this time-restricted eating, and where I only ate within an 8-hour window. So I started, stopped taking in calories at 8 p.m. And fast all the way through the evening where you're sleeping. Don't eat breakfast. Don't take any calories in, so for black coffee and water until noon. And then I start eating again. And I wasn't worried so much about, I was trying to eat healthy, but I wasn't so worried about what I was eating, but I was making sure I was on the schedule, right? And when I started doing that, I dropped, because I gained probably about 20 something pounds and it was just not healthy weight. And I started dropping weight. I kept the exercise routine up. And then I slowly worked my way to the point where I worked out fasted, whether that's weightlifting or running half marathons, fully fasted. Mm. Don't recommend doing that right off the bat, but I started, you know, working up to that.
Yeah.
And I would say at the age of 39, I was probably in the best shape of my entire life. And that helped mental fitness, physical fitness, made me feel better about myself and felt super confident. And it gave me more energy, man. So that was like the first thing, I think, is nutrition and starting to get in the fitness routine.
That's the biggest thing, man. I think everybody that has been through an injury, right, and wants to maintain, you know, their body composition or whatever it is when they had their injury, you know, that nutrition is so important. I'm sure that I've heard it over time, right? I just kind of like you, right? My metabolism was great until I turned 25, and then it stopped all of a sudden. I woke up 15 pounds heavier one day. I don't know what the heck happened. But on a serious, you know, we've probably been told that before, but I don't think it's not a big deal, right? I know it was a long time ago when me and you went through basic training, but I don't ever remember really getting those the kind of like mandatory, hey, this is nutrition, it's important. Right. Here's physical fitness, here's how that is important. We just go do the things. And when you're young, like you said, you can pretty much eat a whole piece and go run, you know, your PT test the next day and be fine, right? Yep. But over time that catches up. But not only does the body start declining, but I think to your point, again, I'm no scientist, no doctor either. I'm not so sure that it's not also increased by the way what we put in our bodies, right? What I mean by that is our bodies decline faster because we don't have good nutrition. When I was in Afghanistan this last time, I jacked my back up really bad. And so having said all I just said, it was the first time, I don't know, in quite a few years, man, where I wasn't able to run. Like literally, it was so painful to run. And I think when I was on your podcast, you'd ask me, you know, what would be the one exercise I could go to? And it was walking, right? And everybody's like, what the heck is he talking about? I didn't realize like how much walking will actually do for you.
Right.
But just the diet itself, I actually lost weight. And some of that was because I quit lifting quite as much as well. But I started seeing stuff in my stomach, like far as the abs, you know, and I'm like, man, I hadn't seen these quite like that in a few years. And it was really just the diet. And so what are your thoughts on do you have any thoughts on how we could make that maybe a more statement of importance to lifestyle for our airmen? Do you think we do enough? I guess maybe is what I should start with. And if not, then what are your recommendations on how we increase that knowledge of how important nutrition is?
Man, I think we talk about it. And I think we talk about a lot more now. It's you know, the information's out there a lot more now than when you and I were airmen. And also, like, I always think about it. Like, people talk about financial fitness or nutrition, all that stuff. When I was 18-year-old Joe Bogdan wouldn't have cared what you told me at that point. Because I'm like you said, I'm eating a tub of ice cream and some pizza and still running a mile and a half real quick, scoring excellence on my PT test and everything else and looking relatively good in the mirror. So I think that the best way, and this is just, and I know it's cliche, is by example.
Yeah.
When I took my last PT test at Osan, you know, I think I ran like a 9:48 on a mile and a half. And I'm not saying that because I know some people who are savages that are older than me are running like 8-something, right? I mean, Larry Bloom ran like 8-something at like 45 or something.
He was born running. And that dude's going to be running after he passes, man. He's been running forever.
Yeah, that dude's a savage, right, when it comes to running. But the thing about it was I was running with all these 20-year-olds, right? And I'm lapping. So some of them even made a comment and was like, man, I felt real disrespected when you lapped me, chief. And I was like, well, don't let me do it next time, right?
So those life choices you're making,
right? But I think that, you know, you look at some of these some of the folks that are older nowadays and they're in great shape. To me, that's inspirational. And if I could, like, you know, keep myself fit and being able to do things I want to well into my 40s and 50s, I think that's probably the best way to show people, you know, what you're doing and that you can balance that stuff out. I think there are some great ways that we can push more education on nutrition. But what I'm afraid of is that what we do is we push nutrition and exercise and all that stuff for the average. And what I mean by, like, you're putting out the stuff is like, well, this is for the average human being. This is what you need. Well, so people who aren't average or below or above, they're not going to be able to like sustain that. Right. Yeah. And then you get into these fad diets and things are just not healthy. People say that if you do this and this and that, it's going to be great. Well, if a person who's a physical freak, he's going to think, no, that'll actually make it me, you know, in worse shape doing that. So I think the biggest thing I'm worried about when it comes to those things is creating a program that's not really adaptable to the person, the individual. And the other thing I'm worried about is how tribal we are in nature. So he's like, no, I'm a CrossFit dude. No, I'm a cardio guy. No, I'm on team lifting only. I'm a carnivore diet guy, you know, like all these things. And I was like, well, if it works for you, go for it. Just make sure you're educated on what's going on. You know?
Absolutely. I think you're spot on when you talk about it being like modeling it. Right. Mm-hmm. I know in some communities, right. You know, it's a little bit easier maybe to do more of a standardized not maybe not standardized, but hey, like, you know, if you're in the battlefield airman or some type of specialized unit, there probably is a lot more of the assistance, maybe from a nutritional standpoint, as we're specifically talking about now. I know they have medical assistant assistance that we don't have in the standard force, so to speak, you know, personal trainers and, you know, medical, mental health providers and a lot within within organizations. But just modeling, you know, we did, I did some airman's time the other day, if we want to use that term, just, you know, sitting and chatting with your teammates. And we were talking about that. And one of the airmen had asked me, it's like, hey, Chief, what do you eat? Actually asked me, what do you eat for lunch? I don't ever see you in here and grabbing the other stuff that, that's on here. What do you pack? Because I used to bring my lunch in. And I explained it to him, like, hey, you know what? When I was 25 or 20, like, maybe not 25, but when I was 24 and younger, I could eat all the same stuff you are eating. And hey, like you said, if it's working for you and you can still do what you want, just know, do a little bit of research on it to see what you're actually putting in your body. I did it because I was just ignorant. So I would just, I encourage people, like, with the sugar and the salts and stuff like that. Actually, my 17-year-old, I think I was telling you about this on your podcast last time as well. My 17-year-old was telling me about how bad salt is. And I just never even, I knew, like, I don't like just pour salt on everything, but we consume a lot of stuff, especially if you're, like, going to fast food and stuff like that. But, you know, some are worse than others, but man, we put a lot of mess in our bodies. And to your point, doing the research on it, our bodies weren't necessarily engineered or designed to take half the stuff that we put in it. So over time, I think it, you know, it just really catches up with us and breaks down other things inside of our body. So anyway, just having that real conversation with people and just explaining where you are, like, same thing as this afternoon when I left, we have a ruck march, a ruck to remember tomorrow. I was like, hey, I'll see y'all out there at the ruck tomorrow. I'm like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I can make it. I was like, it's freaking 2.8 miles.
Right.
I was like, I don't really, you know, it's not that hard, but, you know, at the same time, it's, again, not peer pressure on anybody, you know, because it's not mandatory or anything like that, right? But just setting that, like you said, setting that example. And I just remind them, you know, maybe it is a little bit of peer pressure. I don't know, maybe. But I say, hey, it's, I'm 40 years old and I'm still getting after it, y'all. I mean, are you sore? Are you hurt? But anyway, I like your idea of modeling it, man. It's, so you change your workout routine. Man, running on, I can't imagine, like, fasting, going, or intermittent fasting, or regulated time diets, man. How did that take some getting used to, like, just getting up in the morning, drinking you a cup of coffee and go running?
It did. And, you know, like I said, it's difficult because I was always a guy that thought, you know, I have to have something in my stomach, a little bit, not over, you know, you don't get bloated when you're about to go run, but, you know, I need some fuel. And in reality, what, once again, copy, you know, I'm just gonna put a disclaimer, brilliant idiot, right? what you know, from some of the stuff I was researching and studying, was you're really trying to create, and there's a lot of other benefits, some are arguable, debatable, when it comes to this fasting and exercising on fast, on a fasted state. But you know, the you're trying to create this state in your body where your body is able to adapt to different fuel tanks, let's say, right? So when you're always eating, your body's like, what they say is your body is kind of like looking for that fuel that's coming in to burn. But when you're in that fastest state, you become adaptable and you start being able to go into that tank of that fat that's already on your body, right? And but you can't just do that off the bat, you know, you have to kind of develop, work into that. So I started doing it, and then, you know, ran a couple miles in the fastest state. You got to make sure you have a lot of hydration. And funny thing, you brought up the salt, because for me, you know, once again, it's adaptable to different people, right? So, on an average diet, you probably don't want to consume a ton of salt, because on the, what they call the, standard American diet, the SAD diet, we already consume too much salt, right? The SAD diet is not good for most people, right? So, but if you're, for me, when I was running long distances, and I'm a sweater, man, I sweat a lot, right? And after like a half marathon, or even sometimes 8 mile run, I'll see the salt on my skin, you know what I mean? And I'll start cramping up. So I actually have to consume, I had to take some nutrition to keep that going. And when I ran my full marathon, the first time I failed at it, because I my legs cramped up so bad I almost fell down. I did some more research, and I had to take some salt tablets while I was running, you know, to keep that going in my body. So, you know, it's up there. I know I kind of just went on a tangent, but
no, you know, you're right, it is different for different people. Back in the day when I could run you know, marathons and stuff, you're right, I would, same thing, even like 5 miles, you know, 5 miles, I used to run that a lot, you know. And you see the same thing, like you know, sweat stains on your shirt and stuff, and they have that salt content on there. But yeah, you're right, I guess, for, you know, different, you're right, I've never heard it called the SAD, but the standard American diet, we do consume a lot of salt. And if you're not, not everybody, I mean, heck, Joe, there's the, you're like in the, I don't want to put a percentage on it, but it's less than 1% out there running as much as you do. Mm-hmm. For the rest of us, not running so much, probably don't need so much salt.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people are, you know, downing freaking Gatorade and they're not active enough to really need it. You just drink water. You're fine. Yeah. If you just drank some water, you know, just learning about what you're putting in your body, how you react to it. And some of that's just going to take some time. And, you know, I don't want to say experimenting because that sounds probably terrible with your own body, but in reality, that's what you're doing. You're testing stuff out, trying it out. And you know, the gut biome thing, I think, is so important. I talked to a nutrition expert one time, and he was saying, I asked him, I was like, hey, if there was one thing you think that somebody is completely out of shape and that you thought that they should focus on, what would it be? Like exercise, nutrition? Well, he was like, their gut biome. Like focus on their stomach, like their health of their stomach. Like, what are they getting the probiotics? Do they have bad bacteria in there? Or are they getting the good bacteria in there? Because that's going to impact your energy level as well as clarity of your thought. You know, your stomach is connected to your mind. So it's important to get those probiotics in there. I have a healthy diet of whether it's some kombucha, with the live probiotics in there, and sometimes I'll throw some kimchi with my steak, you know, whatever. Like a lot of that stuff's really important for your stomach to keep your mind clear as well. So that's a huge part. So that physical piece, there's a lot to it.
Yeah.
There's a lot to it. It's connected to the rest of you as well.
I think sometimes too, man, I wonder if we're just so busy that like that's like the last thing we think of is adequately taking care of ourselves. We're like, hey, we know we need to eat. And we eat whatever's convenient because we're already behind schedule or time's running out or whatever, right? We're always on the run. And I think that's why it's so easy to like put stuff in your body that doesn't necessarily maybe belong there. I walk through the DFAC, and it's funny to hear people talk about like how bad the DFAC is or they don't have any good food. I'm like, man, when I'm deployed, I know my diet gets a lot better and I eat the right things or more of the right things. And then when I was stationed at Ellsworth, they had a food 2.0 there. And I don't know if you're familiar with that or is the audience is familiar with that, but where they have more options. Like, man, it's hard to not eat healthy. Like you have options, right? So everybody's lined up on the short order grill or whatever, where it's hamburgers and pizza and stuff over there. And I'm like, really? And you wonder why, like, why doesn't the Chow Hall or the DFAC have anything healthy? Because your butt's not in that line. They have it. You're just not there.
I think there's a weird thing with your mentality when it comes to your time, right? Like if you feel like if you're 18, 19, 20 years old, you feel like you have so much time and that to work all that stuff off, your metabolism's high, you're burning stuff off immediately. And then you start justifying that, you know, I'm gonna be on the line out here working the rest of the afternoon. So I need this burger to fuel me up. I think as time goes on, you start maturing and realizing that, you know, your time's not, it is finite. And taking care of yourself is important. I heard something, and this is a little bit off the rails, but I was listening to Dr. Peter Attia, and he was talking about the one thing you should do as you get older. Like if you're getting 40, 50 years old, right? And there's something that you need, grip strength, work on your grip strength, because he says something like outside of other types of issues that, you know, that people pass away from, like sickness and all that stuff, it's falling down and not being able to catch yourself on the way down when you're like 70, 80 years old, right? So your grip strength is like the most important thing. So I think just learning what you need to do. So I used to lift weights like heavy, and I know I got you some bands. I got the best results from those bands because I wasn't worried. One thing, I wasn't worried about my ego, trying to put more bigger numbers on the barbell. Yeah. The resistance I was getting was the best workout. And then my cardio, I found, you know, having a good cardio base just gives me more energy and it helps me just feel more confident, you know? Yeah. So I think that's really important for me.
You're right. I sometimes, and I'll be very vulnerable, there are times now where I'm like, oh, what do I want to actually work out today? Like, do I want to go and like pick up something heavy and move a lot of heavy stuff around or, you know, and then over time your body just it hurts afterwards. Now I know some people will be listening to this and be like, these two old guys talking. And there might be even people older than us, right? I see older gentlemen in the gym just, you know, jacked, right? Just still big dudes. So it's what applies and works for you. But I agree with you, man. My body type, for people that don't know, I'm 6'4 and 200 and some pounds. I'm about 235. Actually, I could lose quite a bit of weight. But so about 235. But my body type has never been where, even when I played football, man, I never was like really muscular guy, right? Mm-hmm. I was fairly strong, but I just never did build muscle. And I would tell you that when I do more of the functional fitness, I'm not a CrossFitter, but more functional fitness. Like I was telling you earlier, I was working out with my 12-year-old this afternoon using the band you sent me, man. Thanks again. That's been a blessing. Mm-hmm. But man, I feel so energized afterwards. Now, right, I know that you can't do the same thing, or a lot of people can't do the same thing at the same intensity. If it's high intensity for long duration, you're still going to end up with injuries and things too if you're not careful. But the ego, man, that's what you were talking about that really sits with me. I'm like, I'm starting to get to a point now where I really don't care if I go in and pick up the bar that's got 25 pounds on it, or I use one of the bands. You know, those bands are legit though, man. I mean, people look at them, and I've even said it before too, like years ago, I'm like, rubber bands, what's up with that? And just never even given any thought, you know? And you start pushing those things around and trying after a while, especially if you don't do reps, right? If you do like time, like you got to do a minute of this, you're like, oh, whatever, no problem. 30 seconds in, you're like, who the heck invented this? This is horrible.
That James Grage HIIT workout, it's like 20-something minutes, but it's 20-something minutes of hell, right?
Like, it is. And if you don't feel you're like a puddle on the floor. Another day I was I did a band workout. It was that one. Then I added laps in between it in the inside gym. And I had like 800-something calories my watch told me I burned. I was like, holy crap.
If you're not smoked after that, it's probably a level of effort that you're actually putting in, right?
You're right.
And that's the bands. Something about those is that negative, you can't just kind of drop it, you know, the negative part of it. So I've got more shredded. I mean, the six pack came out, everything like was more shredded running using those bands, and every now and then using kettlebells, you know, not even lifting a whole bunch of heavy weights. Now, my goals might be different than other people. I'm not trying to build a bunch of mass. I've learned a long time ago that when I get a lot of mass, just my genetics and my frame, it doesn't feel good with a ton of extra weight on it, you know? So I think there's some of that, but the bands also, I think they help with the, all the stuff in between the connective tissue, you know, the cartilage, like just reinforces some of that in my opinion. So
absolutely. So Isaiah, my 12-year-old today, we were doing overhead press, right?
Yeah.
And so I said, all right, let's try some dumbbells so you can feel that, see what that feels like. And I think I had like 10 pounds. I think it was 10 or 12. I can't remember. And so he did those. And I was like, okay, now that you've got the motion, because I knew how the bands feel, I said, go ahead and let's do the band. So I just had him do it with both hands or whatever. He's like, this is heavier. And I was like, why is that? He's like, because it shakes a whole bunch. I was like, yes, Padawan, you're getting it. But so, I think the moral of the story, so to speak, man, is pick what works for you, but just be aware of what I hear you say, man, is be aware of what you're putting in your body, knowing what maybe that is what you want, maybe it's not. Mm-hmm. But just spend a little bit of time, because man, you spoke about longevity, and that's what I'm shooting for, right? I think as you get older, you start thinking about that more, because you're not so indestructible, or we never were, but we realize now that we're not indestructible. And you know, some people want to go in the gym. I know we both know a gentleman, Markel Willis, man, that dude's shredded.
Yeah,
a jacked individual. He's gone through a couple different stages himself, but he's one of those types of people that works for him. You know what I mean? But some people it doesn't. So pick what works for you and keep moving, kind of thing. And what you feel like is going to give you the best chance at longevity. And I know you said earlier, man, that ties to your psychological or emotional well-being and health. Mm-hmm. You want to talk to us a little bit about that and tell us like kind of how you work through that when you get stressed or you know, overworked or whatever the case may be, how you kind of recharge and what that looks like for you.
Yeah. So I think physical and mental are so tied. All of them are, right? Your spiritual and your social fitness, all of it's tied. But I think that there's such a tie between my physical and mental fitness. When I'm not exercising a lot and then I'm not taking care of myself, I get stressed out easier. You know, I mean, there might be a tasker that comes down that I'd normally be able to handle, but I might, you know, find myself being a little bit more cranky about it. You know, like I start getting issues, I get hangry faster, you know, and I think that's why it's really important. I let a lot of that go, and now it's a non-negotiable getting that fitness in. I found that, you know, if I get that fitness in, I'm able to get the quality of work that I'm working mentally. And you know, and just to go back on that nutrition piece that really gets to the mental piece too, is are you taking supplements that are, you know, because a lot of us, you know, on that sad diet aren't getting all the nutrition that we need, right? The nutrients, the micronutrients. So things that I try to take are going to be like anti-inflammatory stuff, and I don't mean NSAIDs. I don't mean like Advil, right? Motrin. Yeah. I'm talking about like glutathione, and vitamin C, you know, making sure that I have those. I got a good multivitamin, and I got a couple other ones I supplement on the side to keep the free radicals that are causing inflammation in our body, because that's what's really killing us. Yeah. And that directly impacts your mental fitness, you know? So if you find yourself sluggish, maybe that's because what you're eating or not consuming enough of. But, you know, to your point on that psychological fitness, the emotional fitness, I think a lot of that has to do with first doing some deep self-awareness, some deep work. Yeah. What triggers you, right? Just really doing that. And then when I can figure that out, and I realized there's a lot of things from when I was young, some of my own insecurities from, you know, my childhood and how that kept me in my comfort zone. A lot of people hear my story that I talk about, you know, scoring a 97 and mom asking where the other 3% were. I never wanted to get into that situation, right? So then I always started staying in my comfort zone to know what I could score hundreds on all the time. Yeah. And that bled into my military career. And it didn't, you know, lead me into a place where I'm expanding and living to my purpose and meaning. And there's a lot of other things like that. I'm looking at myself inside, like, what are these things that are triggering me? What are some emotions? What are these and what are those? What kind of insecurities impact me? And then once understanding that, deliberately assaulting through those, right? Like, okay, I know that this is going to be hard for me. I'm afraid to fail. Or my ego, I don't want to learn something new because, you know, as a chief master sergeant, has been in an older dude, like I don't want to look like I don't know what I'm doing. No, go put yourself in that situation now and learn from that and get that. So I always talk about just doing hard things. And it doesn't have to be these huge things, but, you know, maybe that's running a long distance to prove yourself that you can do it. Or maybe it's me. I stepped out of my comfort zone to do audio visual for our worship team at church. I know nothing about that. I had an A1C teaching me. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's awesome,
but it keeps me inspired, too. You know, it's like I'm learning something new all the time. And I think when you stop learning, you know, they say you stop learning, you're dying. I think it's true. Inside, your soul starts dying. And so just mentally keeping myself going, reading a lot. And that physical part, you know, I think those long distance runs are more mental than it is physical.
Yeah.
You know, beyond pain management to deal with that and getting over that hump, you know? So those are a lot of things that I like to do to keep my mental and psychological fitness.
Something you said, man, I know a little bit about it, but I'd like you to talk about it a little bit if you can. Assault through, right? I love that saying. And you know, you put a hashtag on it every now and again, but what does that mean to you? Like when you say that, like, I know what comes to my mind when I hear that and what I'm thinking about when I say that. And I have that hat with that patch on it when I'm doing the hard workouts, bro. But seriously, what does that mean to you? Where did that saying come from? And kind of like, what's in your mind when you're thinking about that?
Man, so before my last deployment, I remember going to Fieldcraft Hostel training, and honestly, hands down, the best contingency tripe training that I've got to go to, right, at the Expeditionary Center. And we were doing, you know, dismounted ops. Not very often that you'll be doing that as an airman, you know, depending on what job you are. But you know, it was still great to go through and understand how that concept works. And, you know, the concept of a near ambush came up, right? And really, like, you know, there's how you and your team respond to a near ambush versus a far ambush, you know, it could be life or death, right? It's a totally different response. And when you're facing a near ambush, everybody's just got to assault through that, right? Mm-hmm. Or you're all probably gonna get pinned down and get killed.
Yeah.
Right. And when I think about that, is life's full of these close near ambushes. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, we do it to ourselves because our own mental, you know, like just the mental things that we just are blocks that we put in, the terrible roommate that we have in our own head that constantly talking us down. And a side note to that, I don't want to get too far off track, but my wife told me she went to a temple last week. And they asked a question that you hear a lot, you know, if you had a person that was alive or dead that you can, you know, talk to, who would it be? And the Buddhist monk said, I wouldn't pick anybody like else. I actually want to talk to the version of me that's holding me down. Or, you know, I mean, I was just like, you know, it was just profound. I was like, wait a minute, the version of you, that's not the one that you present to the world in a way. Yeah. Right.
And take some notes on that.
Right. Let's talk to that Joe. Right. Yeah. And like, what are you doing? What are you seeing? Why are you telling me these things? You know, like, yeah. And I think that's really important. And I think when I say assault through, it could be something physical, like you're assaulting through the hill, like you're running up the hill and you hate that hill and you got to get up that hill. Maybe it's a tough part in your life, period. Right, going through a crisis of meaning in your life, you know, or it could be just, you know, trying something new and you find yourself pulling back, you know, out of fear or, you know, anxiety or just a lack of self-worth in that situation, you know, those thoughts. That to me, assaulting through is all of that, right? Getting that grit up and going in. Right. And maybe you're going to get nicked on the shoulder. Maybe, you might get hit, but if you sit there, you're definitely going to be dead. You know, you're not going to make it.
I love that, man. And like I said, that's exactly what comes to my mind when I think of that, you know, doing dismounted ops and stuff like that is something I've had the displeasure of doing a couple of times, but I say displeasure, but I learned so much, man, not only through the training, but actually, you know, running a couple of ops, but not running them, but being part of them. But anyway, you're right, man. There's times where like, it might be a physical thing as you brought up. It might be just a psychological, and heck, 80% of the time it's stuff that never is going to happen anyway, that we're worried about or spun out of control on. But having that mantra, I see that, and I'm not prescribing that as your life mantra by any means. I mean, that's your role is to prescribe that for yourself, but just the assaulting through, like, so I think so many times, man, when I've talked to people that are down and out kind of thing, and I'm not saying this would fix anybody's problem in and of itself, having a mantra, but man, people that are in those situations, you know, you, as you get to know them more and get to, you know, helping them, trying to help them and talk through things, they don't have values, or at least they don't know the values. They can't verbalize or vocalize their values, what their values are, what their purpose on earth is, or what they believe their purpose is. And that mantra, right? There's times where, you know, you're going to be alone and unafraid, or alone and afraid, right? And kind of like that mentality you have about assaulting through, man, it's so profound to me of like, no matter what it is, it ain't my time, right? I'm going to press through this, right? You're not going to be the one, or this situation's not going to be the one to take me off the battlefield, whether that's legitimately on the battlefield or the battlefield of life. So thanks for sharing that with us, man. I don't know if you have additional thoughts. I don't want to cut you short by any means, but thanks for sharing that with us. I guess I will ask you, is that your mantra, or is that one of your mantras that you kind of, you're one of your monikers that you kind of go by?
So I think my main mantra, like the philosophy that I've kind of taken, is better has no finish line. You know me, you're always improving. I think assault through is, for me, is, you know, there's a lot to it. You know, life isn't easy. You know what I mean? Like, life's challenging, you know, life's not fair. You know, and there's going to be things, there's going to be people that don't like you. There's going to be all of the things that happen, you know, in life that we all go through. I've been through those. You've been through those. Sometimes it's just physical ailments that pop out of nowhere. You're like taking care of yourself, and it's still, you know, like, to me, and you and I are both men of faith. So it's like, you know, what does the Lord want us to learn from this situation? You know, we think through those things, but I think when it comes to, you know, one is that better has no finish line, because I think we should always be continuously growing and learning and staying inspired. But that assault through is, you know, I often think about it. The people in your life that care about you and love you the most, they deserve the version of you that gets through that. You know, so don't just sit there and let it happen. You know, the Stoics have a saying, bear and forbear, like bear it. And let's go. let it go or go through it. You know what I mean? I think those are important things to do. And I love the Marcus Aurelius quote. He's one that he says, if you can endure it, stop complaining though.
Yeah. Stop complaining. I like that. I'm not quibbling here. I'm just letting you know that I've got this status I'm working for.
I'm just venting.
Yeah, I'm venting. There you go. That's awesome. So, man, go back. Something you said, man, I wrote it down, is the people that love you the most deserve that version of you that makes it through that. Talk a little bit more about that. What's that mean?
Yeah, so I think that, you know, the people that love you the most, you know, you're supposed to be able to cultivate them, and you should in turn be cultivated by them, right? Like, the people that you care about the most, they deserve a version of you that is the most mature, the most experienced, and the best version of you. And I don't believe that the best version of you is the one that always looks for the life of ease and comfort, mm-hmm. and shies away from those challenges. Because to me, the version of you that you're supposed to be is on the other side of those challenges. Yep. Right. Our bodies might want to get to a level of comfort. Like it's always pulling us to that level of comfort. Right.
Yeah.
But legendary is on the other side. And not to say that we're, you know, you and I are going to be legendary, but there's a legacy that you potentially could leave. And it's not sitting on your couch eating Doritos,
yeah.
right. Or whatever, shying away from that opportunity, that challenge. And when you have that mindset, I feel like the doors open, the glass ceiling gets broken, you know? Yeah. I think about the Hercules, you know, the choice of Hercules. It's all about like he was at a fork in the road,
yeah.
And one goddess looking all like super just beautiful and adorned in all these jewels was like, come this way. You're going to live in a life of comfort. It's going to yeah. be great. You're going to love it. And you'll never have to deal with any struggles. And then the other goddess, she came out looking all like in normal clothes, kind of like, you know, in some rags in some ways. And she said, come this way and you're going to go through some struggles, challenges, and obstacles. And there's going to be times where you feel broken. Yeah. But on the other side of that, you're going to be a legend. And, you know, I through this life, cultivating that idea, that assault through the version, what are you supposed to be living up to? You know, I don't think we're all here to live below, yeah. you know, our potential. We should be living above it. And the only way you can do that is by constantly pushing the envelope and learning, right? And I think that our loved ones deserve that.
Absolutely.
They deserve to be proud of us. They deserve to be able to get that version of us on the other side that we're proud of,
yeah.
you know, because then we're going to be just happier human beings, inspired, you know.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of what I'm getting at with that.
Man, that's profound, actually. And not just trying to give you a big head, man. I love listening to you. That's why you'll say something and I'm like, I'm a little slow on this one, bro. You're going to help me out here. And so that's why I asked the question. There's probably plenty of people in the audience. They're like, yeah, I know exactly what Joe's talking about, but thanks for the way you explain things too, man. It makes a lot of sense. And it's, like I said, it's definitely some wisdom there. People that can take a hold of this, and we haven't very seldomly, have we said in this time of talking together, I mentioned a whole lot about Air Force or about airmen. And that was mm-hmm. my intent, was so that people understand it's humans, right? I know it might sound a bit cliche and it's a Calebism or whatever, but it takes human beings to power the fabric of our nation, which is that uniform we wear to get after mm-hmm. our nation's business. And a lot of times, or sometimes, maybe I should just say just as sometimes, people don't really take that into full account. So when you, to your point, battling through, in your case, assaulting through not only the physical, the piece of it, which ties for you to the psychological and emotional piece, but just, man, you did a great job, I believe, of painting a picture of being a human, right? And being a good human and working through that. But do you have any other thoughts, things we didn't talk about or cover that you just really want to make sure that we do cover, or any parting thoughts or final thoughts from you, man?
Yeah, man, I just really appreciate this opportunity. And I love the Calebisms, man. those are some of my favorite. I got them written down. I got this book going, you know, of all these Calebisms. And I regurgitate them very often, you know. But, you know, to me, I think that all of this is, you know, if you didn't get out of this, our talk, that we're human, that Caleb and I are human, and all the stuff we're talking about has been cultivated over time. It's not like we came out the box this way.
Yeah.
There was times where I wanted to just live in comfort or all these things. And I realized that the benefits of those, you know, they weren't congruent with the effort I was putting into things. Right. And when I started like stepping outside and working harder and working on myself and doing hard things and all these, you know, you build this self-confidence and you also build some humility through that. And those two things can exist together in the same space. And then you start developing this thing called gratitude.
Oh.
You know, and I'm most grateful now for what I have in life, even with the ailment. I told you right now, you know, I have this weird, I don't know, I feel like I have a nerve thing going on. You know, we go through these problems yeah. still too, even though I'm in some of the best shape I've ever been in, I still have these weird ailments that come up. But being, you know, I've developed this concept of gratitude that I've built it up, cultivated it within me. And I'm just so grateful for this opportunity, for you, for the great, what all the things that the great Lord has given me, yeah. My beautiful wife, the top of the list of all of that. Cause she keeps me in line, keeps me in sync. And you know, I really just think in the grand scheme of things, we're all works in progress.
Yep.
And we should always be studying and being students of human behavior, leadership, but most importantly ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, so if you don't know yourself, you're going to have a hard time being right? An effective human being on this planet, you know.
Kind of failing at life right now. You got to know yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome, brother. Man, such great time catching up with you. And just getting to spend some time just chit-chatting. I don't know if people can tell or not. I think they probably can. Just when me or you are chatting, it's all business, kind of the business piece of it, if you will. Not that we're making money, but, you know, the professionalism of it just kind of fades away. We're just two bros talking. But I really do believe that people can learn a lot from those types of conversations, right? So
yeah.
I know every time I listen to your podcast, man, I'm like, man, that's gold right there. And I'll write it down. And I've learned a lot from you, man. Not just in the military space, but just the way you do things. I would tell you that we're all not that you were a bad guy or anything like that, but we were all thankful for Joe coming into your life as well, because
yeah,
I think that from the outside, man, we can all see like that just kind of completed you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just see your happiness and your joy in life kind of marry up with the rest of your energy levels on other things in life. So. Anyway, thanks for being on here, man. Before I let you go, though, I know you're a reader. I know mm-hmm. that. Everybody else knows that. You listen to books and read books. But of the topics we discussed tonight, is there, and if you don't have it off the top of your head, that's fine. We can always put it in the notes later. But is there a book or a podcast, you know, article or whatever that deals specifically with the things we talked about tonight that you would recommend to people?
Yeah, so when it comes to the physical fitness piece, I love Dr. Peter Attia, Attia. He has a podcast, and sometimes it gets a little sciencey to the point where I'm like, I don't know how much I'm getting out of this, right? So that could get tough, but he really talks about fasting and dieting, and he's on YouTube as well as having his podcast. Another one, the Huberman Lab, Andrew Huberman, doctor, he's great too. It gives a lot of perspectives on exercise and workouts and stuff. Mental, you know, that deep work. I like to give a shout out to my buddy Noble Gibbons. He has EQ Gangster podcast. Oh, yeah. And, you know, he talks about the emotion wheel and how if you can't name it, you can't tame it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things that go on within us that we got to do the deep work to get through. And if you are a person that kind of is having problems with your own self-discipline, maybe, because a lot of times people tell me they don't have time or they don't have whatever, and I'm like, you don't have a time management problem, you probably have a discipline problem. And until you really like embrace that, because I'll tell you, I have discipline problems from time to time too, right? Yeah. Until you really embrace that, you're not going to be able to fix it, to really just acknowledge that that's an issue. Atomic Habits by James Clear, amazing book. And another one, if you just need to get a kick in the butt and don't mind a bunch of profanity on the way there, I would say David Goggins' book, you know, Can't Hurt Me, is great. That helped me get through some times where I just needed to push through some stuff. Yeah. I don't agree with every single thing that's in his book, sure. But I would say that it definitely helped get me on that next level, you know. So
yeah.
So those are some ones that I would give recommendations on to just kind of help people get out of that rut.
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely right, man. Talking about, you don't necessarily agree with everything. My stance on that is, you know, you can't copy and paste it, right? Kind of like you mm-hmm. said before, you know, make it fit your life, whatever works yeah. from that. You know, I love, you know, the Jocko and some of his sayings, yeah. but you can't walk in and just kick the door in and tell everybody to un-F themselves and walk out, right?
Right.
That works in some circles, not all circles. So no, I really appreciate you sharing that with us, man. So what's next up on your reading list? Speaking of reading books, you got anything that you're reading next that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, there's actually a book that I've wanted to get on. Excuse me, let me look. I have it on my reading list on Audible because I just finished a book and I'm sure this is terrible podcasting right now,
but when you're looking that up, I'll talk about one that I just read that was totally off the leadership. You know, that goes back to our conversation. A lot of times, you know, people think if you're, you know, maybe some of the circles we're in, if you're a chief, that you only post leadership stuff, or you only post this, that, and the other, or you only read that, or hey, and there's a good thing about learning to grow and growing as a leader and learning more as a leader. But man, every once in a while, I have to get into something else. You know what I mean? So I just read one, Walk in the Himalayas. Man, that is an amazing book. You know, it is for people like me that love going out on long walks for no reason other than just seeing what's out there. But just the stories that he had in that book, man, about the different things that he experienced on his walk through the Himalayas. And he was a prior soldier for the British Army in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's just, I love books like that because it kind of takes you out of the mantra of, you know, always being leadership or management or all this other stuff, you know, which is good. Yeah. But every once in a while, take a break from it. But yeah. So what was what's the book you're reading next?
So the book that I'm about to start is called The Warrior Within by DJ Vanis. And he's a Native American guy that was in the U.S. Air Force, commissioned officer, got into the academy. And I heard him on he was actually on Ryan Holiday's podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And I was thinking, man, this guy is just intriguing. And I definitely want to get into his book. So it's called The Warrior Within by DJ Vanis. That's the next one I'm going to listen to. And the next one I'm going to read is Ryan Holiday's my favorite author. I got to meet him recently. It was awesome. And he gave us early release of his books, his newest books. And one's called Discipline is Destiny. Ryan Holiday is coming out in a couple of weeks, I think, on paperback that everybody could read. But he gave us a couple early ones. So that one's on the list. And then, of course, Courage is Calling, which these two books are actually in this in his series that are coming out. They're the first two, the four virtues of Stoicism: courage, temperance, justice, and wisdom. So it's kind of, those are the first two, and then there should be two more coming out. So I'm looking forward to getting into those as well.
He's a great author, but he doesn't know where the ice is at the Hyatt. It's that story.
If we can't all be perfect.
Just go across social media and you'll figure out what I'm talking about.
We can't all be perfect.
Yeah, nobody can be perfect. But hey, brother, thanks so much for being on tonight, man, and just sharing your wisdom with us and letting us see, so to speak, behind the chief stripes and see what Joe Boggan, how he takes care of himself. So I know it'll anybody that hears it will be blessed, man. So just thank you for being on. Any last thoughts before I kick us off here?
No, man, just thank you for this, and I hope somebody gets something out of it. And Caleb, man, I love you, bro. You're doing so many amazing things out here. I feel blessed to be connected with you and to call you a brother. And same, man, bro. Just keep doing all these great things, bro.
Cool. We out, y'all.